The Israel Report with Roly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Roly Marks, how are you?
I have to say, I'm missing you guys. It's just not the same not being in studio with you.
Absolutely.
All.
How's the trip back?
The trip back was very, very good. And I must tell you, Howard, that we have listeners everywhere, even in the security line at the airport.
Well, there we go. Very, very good. At least they're paying attention. Who isn't paying attention is UNESCO, but settlers have urged Knesset Cabinet to meet at Maratha Machpelah. Is there a chance this is going to happen?
Well, you know what? I think the general mood in the country right now is that anything that we can do to defy the UN and in particular UNESCO, we are going to. In fact, the community of Haifa have asked for a square that is named as a UNESCO heritage site. They've actually asked for the name to be removed. They don't want anything to do with UNESCO. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, settlers called on Prime Minister Netanyahu to hold his weekly cabinet meeting in the Tomb of the Patriarchs or Maratha Machpelah, and they say that this is basically to give a message to UNESCO that we won't have our religious and historical ties to this ancient holy site of ours removed from our heritage. And the Council of Jewish Communities of Judea and Samaria, their head, Avi Roeh, wrote a letter to Prime Minister Netanyahu, and he said that we have to say in a clear voice that the Tomb of the Patriarchs in Hebron, which is the city of our forefathers and our foremother, Sarosh is buried there, mm-hmm. is eternally ours. It's a delirious decision that ignores thousands of years of Jewish heritage and denies the cognition between the nation of Israel to one of our four holy cities of the Jewish people. And another very interesting story that I saw today, in fact, early this morning from the Times of Israel, and I've posted it to Facebook, mm-hmm. is one of the Arab envoys to the voting on Thursday last week, or actually Friday last week, actually sent a WhatsApp to our ambassador saying, I'm really, really sorry for today, that it's due to pressure that they voted this way.
Has there been any comment? In fact, I asked Anthony Reich, and until yesterday there hadn't been. But the last time there was an appalling UNESCO decision, we did see some dissent within the United States, the United Nations. And I'm not talking about Nikki Haley. I'm talking about the UNESCO themselves. Have we seen any dissent, or has it all just gone quiet and they just hope it goes away?
It's all gone pretty quiet. I mean, we are the ones that are angry. But this story, this unnamed ambassador from either Kuwait, Lebanon, or Tunisia actually WhatsApped our ambassador saying, I'm really, really sorry for today. And this comes from our ambassador, Carmel Shama HaCohen's phone, which shows the interaction. And she's actually shared a screenshot of this message, and the Arab envoy, whoever he or she may be, said, sorry for today, it was too heated, it is difficult to say, it was a secret vote. She replied saying, I know, my friend, for me it is like you did it. And he wrote back saying, I had no choice. And the vote was passed by 12-3 with 6 abstentions. And I think, you know, one of the things that we were hoping for was that people wouldn't abstain if it went to secret vote, that they would actually take a stand against these horrendous and extremely insulting votes at the United Nations, at UNESCO.
Absolutely horrible, and we will certainly keep an eye on that story. U.S. soldier arrested for ties with ISIS.
Well, this is becoming a very, very scary trend. And this particular soldier, whose name is Ikeka Eric Kang, his lawyer says that he's suffering from mental health problems. And the statement was released yesterday. Mm. Pardon?
Isn't that convenient?
Very convenient. You know, when in doubt, just plead insanity or mental health issues. But the statement was released by the FBI yesterday that this particular U.S. soldier, Ikeka, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Eric Kang, was on active duty, and that he has been found suspicious of providing material that supports the Islamic State. We know that he's 34 years old, and he apparently tried, or allegedly tried, to provide ISIS with training, military documents, and actually help them to buy a drone to use against American troops. I think somebody who's that organized is definitely in their sane mind. Howard, I don't buy the excuses.
Well, it's either going to be that, or they're a lone wolf of insane mind. But it certainly sounds like it's a proper structure.
Well, he was organized enough to make combat training videos for ISIS, both in English and in Arabic, and said that he wanted to use his rifle to kill a bunch of people. And, you know, we have seen these attacks before on military bases or bases by people or soldiers who have sworn allegiance to the Islamic State.
Yep, that's and I mean, until there's an acceptance that this, how serious this type of thing is, and you can't write it off with insanity or lone wolves, I don't think we're going to solve the problem. Gabay winning, or how do we pronounce it? Is it Gabay?
Gabay.
Gabay wins the Labour primary. Tell us about him. I've been trying to read up on him, and it's a bit all over the show. He's not very experienced, is he?
But one thing he has succeeded in doing is saying goodbye to Herzog as the head of the Labour Party.
Which can't be a bad thing.
Yeah, this has been very, very interesting. It was predicted that Peretz would win this. However, Gabay, who's a former non-Haver Knesset or MK minister for the Kulanu Party, so he jumped across the aisle. He has joined Labour. He was elected yesterday as the new chairman of Labour, and he beat Amir Peretz, who's actually a veteran lawmaker. He's a former leader of the Labour Party, and it really is a very, very dramatic, a real dramatic turn of events. You know, like we've said so many times, Howard, that it's becoming so difficult to predict any happenings on the political landscape because we keep seeing unpredictable results.
Absolutely, and, yeah.
So, and he has gone so far as to say that the state of Israel is headed to elections. We just don't know the date. So very, very interesting. The next elections, barring anyone's sooner, are scheduled for November 2019. The party needs at least 100,000 members by the next election to win nearly twice its current number of 52,000.
And I think I even read somewhere that he's already gained one additional voter because his mother was a Likud supporter and she now says she's going to move over to vote Labour.
Well, there you go. Never underestimate the power of the Jewish mom, Howard.
Believe me. Absolutely, absolutely right. What is happening, Rolene, with the list of blacklisted diaspora rabbis?
Well, that, I must be honest, I'm not that clued up upon, but I can definitely investigate that for you and get back to you tomorrow.
Yeah, because in fact, one of South Africa's, a local rabbi, in fact, was named on it, which makes absolutely no sense considering that all conversions in South Africa are done through a central body, which is, or certainly all Orthodox conversions are done through a central body, which is the Beth Din. So how one rabbi was singled out to be added to that blacklist is something a little bit odd, I was just wondering what the reaction had been from this very, very strange blacklist list that's been put out by the Israeli rabbinate.
But this goes into, you know, the big controversy around conversions at the moment and what is legal and what's not a legal conversion. I know that Ayelet Shaked, our justice minister, as well as chairman of JAFI, or the Jewish Agency for Israel, or the Sochnut, as we call it here in Israel, Natan Sharansky and Naftali Bennett, our education minister, are really working hard to try and find a solution to this growing crisis.
Absolutely, and the whole Kotel or Western Wall egalitarian issue, no doubt, is going to lead lead to a discussion and to two issues about conversion and about kashrut licenses as well. Rolene Marks, welcome back to Israel and welcome back to the afternoon show. Wonderful to have you back with us, even if it's from afar. And I hope you managed to get some sleep today.
I have had no sleep today. I actually got off the plane, came home, had a shower, unpacked, and went straight to see one of my clients.
All right. Well, at least you'll sleep well tonight, I hope. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. We'll be chatting to her tomorrow. Hopefully she'll be well rested and bringing you the latest news from Israel. You have a fantastic afternoon, Rolene.